with you back there? And you didn't invite me? Hurt my feelings.
I don't waste breath on an enemy. No room for negative energy.
You know, I always love when some guys talk smack after making one play.
Eventually, I don't waste breath on an
enemy.
All right, everybody, welcome in to Load the Box. I'm your host, Jordan Hawthorne. I'm joined, as always, by Jack Day. Jack, how are we doing this week? I know we're coming off a loss.
It's been a crazy day for me and just kind of sporadic here. I've been sitting in a car for over 3.5 hours total. We got our first snowfall of the season today, this morning, which it was only 2-3 inches, but the plows were not great this morning, so I sat in traffic for 2.5 hours. So the ride home was much better, but it was a stressful morning, to say the least.
Yeah, still no snow down here in Ohio. Unfortunately, this is actually my favorite time of year. I'm actually one of those people who like some of my Christmas decorations have, you know, come out of the closet. A couple of them have went up. We don't put the tree up until a little later just because my cats are too stupid to understand that, like, they shouldn't get inside the tree and start trying to knock stuff off. So, well, not to that point yet, but I'd be lying if I said I hadn't, you know, started bumping a little bit of Mariah Carey Christmas album, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's here. It's winter. Was watching the Notre Dame game last weekend. It was snowing in South Bend, and I was like, oh, boy, here we go. So I'm sure that snow is not too far off for us.
Yeah, it's definitely coming. It's obviously, being in Minnesota, we probably see it a little bit earlier on than what you would see down in Ohio, which we actually have. I still kind of wish, pardon me, I like, for some reason I'm kind of psychotic, but I enjoy going to outdoor games when it's cold outside. I made sure when the Vikes are playing out at TCF, me and my dad and my brother, one of my stepbrothers, we decided, I was like, we are going to this game. It was a December game. It was when we beat the Jets in overtime. I can't remember. I think it was McKinnon had a screenplay that went housed it for the victory. So
like 97 yards.
Yeah. It was 2 days after my wisdom teeth were taken out, so my face was completely swollen still, but had to experience it because I don't know if I'll ever be able to experience an outdoor home Vikings game in my lifetime. But other exciting news in the state of Minnesota, the Gophers 8-0 are ranked 13th now in the country. I believe it's 13th. I'm not 100% sure that's accurate, but I know it's within that range, and they play Penn State, who are also 8-0, and they're coming up to Minnesota. That's gonna be an outdoor game, debated on going. Don't think I'm going to end up going, but definitely we'll be watching that one. And that'll be a Gopher game that you'll have out in Ohio as well, because it will be a national televised game.
Yeah, I was kind of excited last weekend. See, this is what we're going to do now. Whenever the Vikings lose, we're just not going to talk about the Vikings at all. We're just going to talk about other stuff. But Memphis beat SMU last weekend, which means the whatever conference UC is in, they are going to probably host the conference championship game. So I will probably go to that with my fiance, because she goes to the University of Cincinnati. We only live about, you know, half an hour away from that stadium and everything. So really excited about that. Also, Penn State, like, if the playoffs started today, they'd be in. So that's a huge test for Minnesota. I'm definitely pulling for you guys. I love, like, underdog teams like that. And hopefully you guys beat them and you guys move up and maybe start getting some respect.
Yeah, and on the same side, nowhere near the level of fan for the Gophers I am for the Vikings. The Vikings are by far top of my charts, but it's hard not to pull for a team like that. Kind of a fair weather college football fan. I love football, love the game, but I just enjoy watching whatever's on. I like watching the better matchups. And in my lifetime, that hasn't been the Gophers in any of those better matchups. So to be on nationally televised game, playing against, like you said, a team that if the season ended today would be in the playoffs at home, it's going to be exciting. The state of Minnesota, after coming off a very disappointing loss to the Chiefs, it's something to look forward to here on Saturday.
Yeah, so thank you for segueing us back on track. The Vikings did fall by 3 points on a last-second field goal to the Chiefs in Kansas City. The loss streak still stands. We haven't won in Kansas City since 1974. That's a long time. But, you know, we only get to play them like once every 4 or 5 years. I think we alternate home and away, so I don't think that played into it as much. I will say this about the game. Go ahead.
Before we completely transition into the numbers and kind of our thoughts on the game, I do think I beat you on our little side bet from last week's show. You said over under 3 times they were going to bring up the Super Bowl. I think they brought it up. I want to say it was like 1.5 because they had a time where they were talking about the Vikings versus Chiefs, like kind of old school matchups, and I counted, but I don't think it hit 3. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I counted
2. Maybe at most 3, because I remember at one point they weren't talking, but they did show pictures of the Super Bowl.
That was the half I was talking about.
But yeah, so looking at the game, I think that I'm just going to preface it with this. And also, congratulations to you on winning that bet. And also, congratulations to all Vikings fans, especially the older ones who, you know, lived through that Super Bowl. But looking at the game, I mean, it's really tough to beat good teams in their stadiums. Like, there's a reason the Patriots are so good. It's because they always play at home and they always get a bye. Like, playing a team at home, a good team especially, like the Chiefs, I don't care who's under center for them. It's, they have such elite talent. Tyreek Hill is a cheat code. Their running back is, he would be the, Damian Williams would be the fastest guy on like 31 teams in the NFL. Like, and then, you know, Matt Moan, experienced veteran. I can go, you know, through the list and name off all the really good players, but I'm just going to stop at, they're a really good team. I was expecting the game to be really close. We got the ball with about 2.5 minutes to go. I expected us to go and put the game away. We did not. We finally saw us throw a tight end screen in this game, I believe on that final drive of ours. We threw one to a tight end screen to Irv Smith, and it lost like 8 yards. So I guess we're never going to be able to talk crap about Kyle Rudolph again. Just keep throwing them to him. Clearly he is the rack man. He's Mr. Rack. But yeah, it just... I'm not going to poop on Cousins too bad, but in watching some of the film and seeing some of the tweets people are sending, he played fine, but he definitely, for some reason, went back to, like, I'm just going to check the ball down instead of, you know, attempting a deep throw. There were a couple times when he had guys break open down the field, and he decided, I'm going to take this check down to, you know, Dalvin, or I'm going to take a check down to this guy. He also overthrew a couple guys. Wasn't his best game. It wasn't his fault that we lost. Zimmer deserves some blame. I really don't think this is a game where we should get on here and just slaughter people and call for people to be fired. I mean, it's tough to go into an opposing team stadium and get a win. So that's kind of my takeaway. The Vikings are still a good team. I think we'll be really competitive with Dallas. Really looking forward to that matchup. So yeah, that's kind of my takeaway. Nothing too, you know, hot take-y about it. So, Jack, what'd you take away from the game?
Yeah, just kind of going off what you said, it was an extremely frustrating performance. I mean, the game was there. It seemed like at one point I thought we had it, and then you allow a 91-yard run, like you said, to Damian Williams. It's just frustrating where, I have no idea where our linebackers even were during that play. I haven't gone back and completely watched the entire game over, but
I think they called us in a blitz, and then Anthony Harris just got toasted.
Yeah, Anthony Harris. I mean, he's played very well for this team. With that, there's some news on the safety position that we can kind of cover when we go over the injury report before that. But yeah, it just was very frustrating. I thought we had it in the bag a couple times, and then they just let the Chiefs get back in the game. And Kirk Cousins said on his podcast last night with Mark Rosen, he just said, you have team wins, and this was completely a team loss. And he was right on that. I mean, there's some blame to go with Kirk Cousins. A couple bad things happened on the defensive side of the ball, and just some questionable coaching calls as well. I mean, we open up against the Chiefs, who are ranked 30th, I believe, in rush defense, and you open up with three straight pass plays and you go three and out right away and you don't even gain a yard on your first drive. Just kind of scratching your head. I was scratching my head a little bit on that one. Like, Dalvin Cook, we just watched Aaron Jones have a great game against him last week, and we're not even going to utilize Dalvin Cook. They got him involved later on in the game, but it was never a game where he had one of those signature runs where he kind of broke one for 25-plus and got in the end zone or anything like that. Alexander Mattison was kind of kept bottled up. Granted, he only touched the ball, carried the ball three times.
Yeah, he barely played. I remember specifically asking when I saw Mayo Abdullah in the game, I was like, did Mattison, like, secretly get that DUI for Jayon Kelce and, like, the team is punishing him? Because he looked like a stud against Washington, and then he was not used at all against Kansas City, and it left, I think, every Vikings fan scratching their heads.
Yeah, it was weird. And then Amir Abdullah, he got in the end zone for the first time as a Viking, which was exciting to see. But just going through the box score, just an extremely weird box score. The top three receivers, besides Delvin's in the top three, but it was Laquon Treadwell and CJ Ham were your top three or top three wide receivers, excuse me. Laquon Treadwell had three catches for 58 yards, which might be more catches and yards than he's had in his entire career. I know that's not completely true. He's had more than that, but it sure seemed like that. They were throwing his way quite a bit, which is weird. I know I saw a couple clips where Diggs, again, were getting back. It just kind of reminded me, I don't want to fully say because it wasn't nearly as bad, but that Chicago game where Diggs is open downfield and he's either getting overthrown or just not looked at all, and it's frustrating. And we saw Thielen go out early, and it's very hard to watch that as a Vikings fan. With knowing Diggs and Thielen are on the field, it just makes me feel like one of these guys, they're going to be open at least once every drive. That's how it has seemed over the last couple of years. And Kirk Cousins was starting to kind of find his rhythm, and he got, I'm not going to say completely shut down this game. He still threw for three touchdowns, but it was nowhere near as good as he had been over the last stretch of the last four games. So it's going to be a challenge. We had talked about it leading up to this, that we kind of needed this win because, like we said, Mahomes is out. They are a very capable team still with a backup quarterback, with how high-powered their offense is, which is exactly what we talked about last week. But we have another test here going down to Jerry's World in Dallas, and then we have Denver at home, and then I believe we have a bye, and then we go right back to a Monday night game in Seattle, which is never easy to win in there. So we have three road games in the stretch of 5 weeks, I believe, 4 or 5 weeks, where it's going to be tough, and it's kind of grit time for the Vikings. If they're going to have to pull out at least one of these wins. They're going to have to win against Dallas or Seattle for me to have a lot more faith in this team, and it's not going to be an easy task by any means.
Yeah, so I have a theory really quick that I, like, just thought of while we were talking. And I swear on it, I've been thinking about this since, I think since the first Chicago game last season. And it's why Cousins seems to, quote-unquote, shrink against, you know, winning teams or against, you know, in primetime games. And I think the reason is, one, if you're in primetime, you're probably playing against a good team. You know, because it's a primetime game. The NFL wants, you know, the good teams to be featured in primetime. Gets more eyes. The networks like it. So I think whenever he was young, he just made a bunch of mistakes, which is to be expected. Like, everyone makes mistakes when they're a young quarterback. And now, because there's that stigma around him of, oh, Cousins in primetime. Oh, Cousins against good teams. Blah, blah, blah. I think he plays it, like, safe. Like, as safe as he can. Like, if he has BC Johnson open 20 yards down the field, he thinks maybe a better option is to take Dalvin Cook on a check down because I don't want to take a chance of throwing this, you know, higher risk ball. And I think I just cracked the code on Kirk Cousins. I think that's what the issue is. I think he's in his head a little bit. But again, this isn't a game where I'm slaughtering Kirk Cousins. He played well enough to win. I think the play calling wasn't great. It just seemed like a game where the Vikings didn't want to win, if that makes sense. It just seemed like the play calling wasn't there, the big plays, you know, there were overthrows, and it just seemed like I've seen a lot of quotes, you know, from Vikings players, we just didn't make enough play, or we didn't make enough big plays to win the game, and I think that's 100% accurate. But one play that I'm going to point out really quick before I think I'm almost done talking about the game is last drive of the game when Kansas City had the ball. Everson Griffin, I'm pretty sure, forced a fumble, and Matt Moe literally, like, out of pure luck, fell on the ball. Oh, like, the snap got messed up. Something. The ball gets fumbled, Matt Moe falls down on top of the ball, and Everson Griffin was looking around like, where's the ball? I'm going to pick this up and go get a touchdown. And Matt Moe just happened to, whenever he got hit, fall directly onto the ball. And it just kind of seemed like one of those days where it's like, yeah, this isn't our day. But I think in Dallas, we do actually have a shot. I've seen a lot of people saying we're going to get, you know, absolutely annihilated by Dallas, which I don't understand at all. I think it's going to be a really good game. But yeah, that's all I've got. So go ahead and give me your final thoughts about this Kansas City game.
Yeah, like I said, there's not a lot to say. It if you watch the game, it was just kind of I hate to say it, but almost like a typical loss. Like you said, it just seemed like we didn't want to win the game. Obviously, that's probably not the case, but it was just frustrating. There was a couple plays on that last drive as well. Can't remember if it was the last drive or the drive before that, but Zimmer called that timeout when it looked like we were going to have him another sack on Matt Moore, which is frustrating. I get it. He was probably something else was wrong on the defense side of the ball for the Vikings, and he was doing what he thought was right in his mind. But why if that's the case, why in the hell was a timeout not called when you have Mackenzie Alexander lined up across from Travis Kelce? I don't see how that in any way, shape, or form is a favorable matchup for the Vikings. You need a bigger corner. And I'm not bashing Mackenzie Alexander by any means, because he's been one of the more promising corners, in my opinion, on this team throughout the season. But you can't put a slot corner up against a guy like Travis Kelce. He's going to win that matchup 9 out of 10 times. And on the last drive of the game, it was just extremely frustrating. And another thing where I was just kind of scratching my head, like, why is he there that time and place? We had talked about it the week before. That could be a spot where you have Jayron Kearse out there. He's a little bit bigger, has longer arms, and he can kind of break that up. And there was another play where the announcers were even talking about it, where Anthony Harris came screaming downfield and looks like he was going to have a pick, but Travis Kelce was so big that he just blocked him out and ended up catching the ball. So it was just really frustrating. The secondary has taken a lot of heat, and I think it's rightfully so. I think it's deserved. Mike Zimmer came here kind of known as the cornerback whisperer. I guess I shouldn't say the secondary, because I think our safeties are fine. Safeties played fine other than the Anthony Harris missed tackle, but our cornerbacks, Zimmer is known as a cornerback whisperer. That's kind of what he was known for when he came into Minnesota as a head coach. Like, he's going to take these corners under his wings and turn them into something great. And we thought we had that in Rhodes, and he's since regressed. Rhodes was a first-round pick. Trey Waynes was a first-round pick. Mike Hughes is a first-round pick. Mackenzie Alexander was a second-round pick. And then you have Holton Hill, who had probably first or second-day talent on the draft, but because of his off-the-field issues, he dropped down, and he was an undrafted free agent. So much talent on that side of the ball. So much stock invested in these cornerbacks, and we have a head coach who is supposed to be whispering these guys, they have to be better. I know it's against a team with, like you said, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins. Very good offense, but we're supposed to have a very good defense. We're supposed to kind of be the cream of the crop with a head coach who is defensive minded, been a cornerbacks or defensive backs coach his entire year or entire career, leading up to his defensive coordinator days in Cincinnati and now as a Viking. So that's just one thing that I kind of wanted to get off my chest, because it was frustrating me throughout the game seeing these mismatches. You have these talented players, make sure they're lined up on the right people. It was a huge thing that we talked about, and I even said last week I thought my game ball was going to be Trey Waynes, because I said he needed to have a big game. Granted, I don't think he played terribly. There was the touchdown to Tyreek Hill. He was burnt a little bit, but it wasn't terrible. It was a very well-thrown ball. Tyreek Hill had a very nice catch on the ball as well, so not super pissed about that. But you just got to line these guys up. They're very talented. Coach them up some more and make sure they're lined up in the right spot. And I think that kind of wraps up my
Really quickly, I did want to point out, I'm stealing this take from many people on Twitter, so I don't want to, you know, say that I came up with this myself, but it seems like when Zimmer sees a backup quarterback, his defense, for some reason, doesn't show up. And I don't know if it's because, like, we don't have film on him, or if it's, like, he just plays really soft, and he's like, there's no way, you know, Matt Moe, or there's no way Chase Daniels or Nick Foles could light up my defense. And I think he plays kind of softer. He plays a little bit more off. He keeps everything in front of him or whatever. And I don't think that's the way to go. I think you should play, you know, Chase Daniel the same way that you play Drew Brees. Like, you should just play him the same. I'd like to see a little bit more consistency, because once I saw that pointed out on Twitter, I was really like, you know what? That's a really good point. But that will actually be my final thought on this game.
Yeah, and I can kind of wrap it up as well. We had a mini heart attack as well with we were so used to and excited to have Marcus Sherrills back punt returning. Granted, Mike Hughes did not lose the fumble, but he dropped the ball. And that was a conversation that I had when I was watching the game with my dad. Like, Marcus Sherrills, sure, he wasn't the fastest guy on the field, but he was reliable. He was going to catch the ball, and he would get what he would get. Now we have a guy who probably a little bit more athletic, quicker guy, but just for all of our sakes as Vikings fans, just please catch the ball and get what you can get. I mean, I'm all for big punt returns and everything like that, but I loved having Marcus Sherrills back there just because we knew he was going to catch the ball, and he wasn't going to do all this fancy footwork, razzle-dazzle type stuff. He's going to get upfield, and if he can get 5 yards, he's going to get 5. If he can break it off for 25, he's going to get 25. So just kind of want to touch on that a little, because that was another
game balls.
For even this though, game, yes. Even though we probably shouldn't, because no one deserves one. But yeah,
I didn't even think about it, but because I love tradition, I will give my game ball overall to the I really don't know. I'm gonna go with the defensive line. Specifically let me make sure I have his name right. Ifadi Ojinabo, I can't pronounce his last name.
It's Ifedi Odenabo.
I said, okay, thank you. Him, he gets my game. What a great Vikings fan I am. No, Ifedi gets my game ball because I'm pretty sure he had his second NFL sack. He had his first one earlier this season, and he also made a really good play in the run game. And, you know, this just doesn't really seem like a game where many people should get a game ball. Maybe Laquon Treadwell, but I'm going
to
go with Odell.
That's switching over to me. That's who I was going to give mine to, Laquon Treadwell. Thielen went down early. We were hoping he'd be back out there because we have that dynamic threat out at the wide receiver position. But Laquon Treadwell, when he needed to and when he was asked to, he stepped up and he made a couple plays for the Vikings. Granted, it was 3 catches for 58 yards, but that's a lot more. That's more productive than I think he's ever been for the Vikings in his 5 years here now. So in a game that was not sexy by any means, it was a game the Vikings probably should have won. They ended up losing on a walk-off field goal that, by the way, we haven't really talked about, but Daniil Hunter said he did get a finger on that. Because when Daniil split through that line very quickly, and I thought he was going to block it right away. But then the ball kind of knuckled, so he did get a finger on it. If that only would have changed and he could have gotten a full hand to swat that down, I think we could be having a much different conversation right now. But yeah, it was a very frustrating game. Let's just put it in the past, and hopefully, like I said, we have a couple big weeks coming up here. We can get back home kind of in between two very big games for the Vikings. But let's switch over here to the Vikings and Dallas game, and starting with the injury report. The Vikings, unlike last week, they were very clean on the injury report. This week, a little bit more banged up. Today, did not practice. Adam Thielen, seen a lot of rumors that he's probably not going to play on Sunday night. Hamstrings are a very weird injury, and they can linger. So if it means he can play in a couple weeks, if he sits out for a game or two, I'm all for it, because we need Adam Thielen back on the field. CJ Ham did not practice, and Ifedi Odenabo, speaking of the devil, did not practice. Limited for the Vikings, Trey Waynes, Stephen Weatherly, Linval Joseph, Shamar Stephan, and I got ahead of myself there. Weatherly was the last limited. Full participants were Joseph, Stephan, and then Eric Kendricks. Dallas, on the other hand, they look to be a little bit more healthy than we are. They only had their backup tackle, Cameron Fleming, did not practice, but they had a couple limited guys. Lael Collins, tackle, he has a knee injury. He was limited today in today's practice. Amari Cooper, their wide receiver, their star wide receiver, has a knee/ankle injury. He was limited. Safety Jeff Heath, limited. Sean Lee was limited. Guard Zach Martin, limited. Tackle Tyron Smith, limited. And Leighton Vander Esch, linebacker, he has a neck injury. He was also limited. So kind of just going off, I mean, we can never predict how this is going to play out, but normally when someone's limited on Wednesday, it seems like they normally have enough time, especially for a Sunday night game, to get healed up. So I would expect the majority of them to play. Like I said, I'm not a doctor. I haven't spoken to anyone in the Dallas Cowboys organization, so I literally have zero idea if any of these guys are going to play, but just kind of going off how I've seen it over the last couple weeks, limited on Wednesday is, I mean, some of these veterans, they kind of get a little bit of leeway with their coaches as well, and a limited, we're just kind of not practicing as hard, but that will wrap it up for the injury report, unless there's anything that you want to touch on. I know there's not any huge news, but
I would say that obviously, I mean, Dallas's offensive line is spectacular. There's a lot of draft stock in that O-line. Similar to the Vikings secondary, how it's like all first and second round picks. That's basically Dallas's O-line. So if any of them do end up, you know, maybe even though they're just limited, if any of them don't play, that would definitely be a huge loss. That team is a lot different whenever the O-line's not at 100%. And then also, Leighton Vander Esch, an absolute stud out of Boise State. I think I heard them talking, I can't remember when, maybe it was on Twitter, but I saw somewhere he was, a lot of people are speculating that a lot of people are saying he won't play on Sunday night. A lot of people are saying he'll be fine to go on Sunday night. So, it's Wednesday. As much as I would love to know what's going to happen, like you said, we have no idea. We just have the injury report to go on. So, that's really it. Just, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's talk about the big news. Let's get into the news here before we do our commercial break. Let's enlighten all the Vikings fans that Mr. Violent Football Man himself is going to be back in the state of Minnesota. The Vikings released rookie safety Marcus Epps today out of Wyoming. He could still end up on the practice squad, but we are trying to make football violent again by bringing back the old reliable Andrew Sendejo, who just got done with a half year stint in Philadelphia. We had to play him, and now we have the safety back who, if you're caught running a slant across the middle, he might just take your head off.
He will make you pay. And Andrew Sendejo, ironically enough, is the only guy to pick Kirk Cousins off over the last five games. Even though it was kind of fluky, it still counts. So, yeah. So whenever we were playing Philadelphia, I feel like we tarnished Andrew Sendejo's name a little bit. We didn't tarnish it. We liked Andrew Sendejo. I think we're very in line about what we think of him. He's not a guy that's going to jump out. He's not a guy who's going to play the ball. He's going to play to hit people so hard that they die, but that's too, you know, X-rated, or, you know, that's too extreme. He hits people instead of going for the ball. He loves making big hits. He has the make football violent again hats. It's great. I really loved him last season, all the seasons he was with the Vikings. I hope we don't see Anthony Harris take too big of a dip in play. I hope we use him more of a linebacker. Like, instead of putting Eric Wilson or Ben Gideon in, let him play that linebacking position. But I don't know what the plan is for him. Maybe he's going to be like Treadwell. He's just going to be used if there's an injury. And he's a guy who would be he's the perfect backup for Zimmer's system. Like, God forbid if something happens to Harrison Smith, you know, he could come in and play Smith's role. Not as well, but, I mean, at least he knows the defense really well. We wouldn't have to pick up a guy off the street. So, I think he's just someone that knows the team. It's a lot like the Treadwell situation, except he was pretty good in Zimmer's defense, whereas Treadwell was bad. He knows the offense. He knows the defense. He's played in this system for years. Got let go. We didn't re-sign him after last season. Went to Philadelphia for half a season, and he's back, baby! So, super happy to have him back.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think it is going to be more of a depth piece. I was at work today, and one of my coworkers came up and told me, he's like, Sendejo is back. And the first thing that crossed my mind, I was like, please don't tell me that Curse is off this team. I was like, I hope to God that but granted, it turned out he's still on the team. I know there's some high hopes for Epps as well, but he hadn't played a lot. I know he's a special teams guy, but didn't see the field as a safety. So it's exciting to have him back. Like you said, he's a very good depth acquisition. He knows Zimmer's defense, and my God, I'm just thankful he's in purple again, because I never want to have to play him again on another team, because he is a very scary guy to play. He I don't know if he has any regards for the other team's body. I don't know if he has any regard for his body. There's a reason this guy's nicknamed the Human Torpedo. He will come at you, and he will come at you hard. And I'm very, very excited to have him back in purple.
Yeah. At this rate, though, like, the Vikings added Marcus Shales. We bought back Marcus Shales. We bought back Laquan Treadwell. We've bought back Andrew Sendejo. I want to know, when the hell are we bringing back Antoine Winfield, or at least drafting his son? When's that going to happen? Because we just need all the old Vikings. Let's get Randy Moss in the building.
I tune into the Gopher game and watch his son play. He's been balling out. He's fun to watch. But I thought you were going to say a different name. I got my hopes up when you started ranting. There was reports this week saying, hey, so-and-so, I'm not going to release his name just yet for the fun of it, but he has earned himself a contract in between $20 and $30 million. When are we bringing back Teddy Two Gloves himself? If we're having a reunion tour, bring back the guy. How good of a story would this be? I mean, granted, I love Kirk. Love how he's very talented. But I have every Vikings fan, you either hate him or you love him, or I guess you don't hate him or you love him, but I just have a soft spot for him. This guy literally almost lost a leg practicing for your team. How cool of a story. You get Teddy back as your starting quarterback down the road, and he leads this team to a Super Bowl. It would be the coolest story. Comeback player of the year, Teddy Bridgewater holding a Lombardi trophy with the Vikings. I'm going to bawl like a baby the day the Vikings win their first Super Bowl, and that, I think, would just make it even worse, because my heart would feel full, and I would just be Teddy. I would go to sleep a lot easier knowing Teddy is home.
Ironically enough, a couple years ago, after we made the playoffs and lost that playoff game against Seattle, the off season when, you know, the knee stuff happened, I got me and my dad matching T-shirts. They were little teddy bears with Vikings, not like the football helmets, but like the Vikings helmets that are like actual Viking helmets. It's a teddy bear wearing those. And it said, it's Teddy time. And my mom gave it to me because it was in my old bedroom. And she was like, here, look, it's a Viking shirt. And I was like, Mom, why are you doing this to me?
Are you trying to make me cry right now? Because,
but no, I think Zimmer went to the Wilfs. And he was like, look, I know, like, you guys won a Super Bowl. And I know we didn't make the playoffs last year. But I have a plan. I have a master strategy. We're going to bring back literally every member of the 2015-2016 Vikings team, and we're gonna go with it. Like, we're gonna get Case Keenum to be the backup, and we're gonna trade a first round pick for Sam Bradford. Mike Wallace is coming back. Greg Jennings, get the band back together. Who's another guy that was on this team? Khalil and Joe Bojo. Yeah.
Okay. Now you're starting to sound a little bit crazy.
I want to start bringing in old offensive linemen. Low key, I kind of want Phil Loatholt back to come play left tackle, but that's a completely different story. But yeah, in all seriousness, Sendejo is back. He's gonna knock some heads off, get a couple $30,000 fines, and probably get suspended for the rest of the season. It's gonna be fun. And we're probably going to secretly enjoy all the big hits he's going to lay out and all the money he's going to lose. Is there any other news?
I don't think there's a lot of news left. I think we kind of covered. I think that's really the only big story. I don't know if there's no buy this week, so there's no one out driving under the influence with a gun in their car, so I don't have to rant about that this week at all by any means. But I think it's a good transition for us to switch over to the Dallas game and play the commercial.
I was about to say, let's take a brief ad break, and then we'll be right back. We'll talk about the Dallas game. We might talk about some old Vikings players some more. You just never know, but we'll be right back after this brief message.
If you're like me, then every Saturday in the fall is the best day of the week for you. There's nothing like waking up, turning on the TV, and getting ready for a whole day of college football action. Whether you're watching from the stadium or from the couch that day, there's still nothing like the excitement that builds as you wait for your favorite team to take the field. The problem, though, is that for most, this excitement only comes on Saturdays. Here at the Flagship Football Show, we think every day should be College Football Saturday. That's why the Flagship team works all week to bring you the best recaps, previews, interviews, topics, and discussions on all things Ole Miss football. Tune in every Wednesday for our new episode on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, and follow us on Twitter at Flagship FB Show and on Facebook at the Flagship Football Show to keep up with all our coverage. And remember to stay with us every single Wednesday all year as we bring you everything you need to know about the Flagship University in Mississippi on the Flagship Football Show.
Welcome back in to the Brian Robeson Appreciation Podcast. I thought of another name while we were on break. I'm honestly just trying to think of Mo X Vikings from like 3 or 4 years ago, but it's kind of difficult.
Well, if you're going to throw up B-Rob's name, we better be bringing Jared Allen back as well.
Originally a Kansas City Chief, so you see, that one actually makes sense to bring up. We should have brought him up last week. But yeah, so... like I said, in all seriousness, welcome back into Load the Box. You know, we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about the upcoming Dallas game. Tough road test. Cousins has seen Dallas a million times, and I don't know if he's ever beat Dallas. I haven't been watching Undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Shelp, but I'm sure Skip Bayless is bringing up that Cousins has had some bad ones against Dallas. A lot of them were primetime games. These are obviously from his years in Washington. So if you buy into that narrative, then have fun on Twitter this week. But for me, I'm personally just looking forward to the secondary in this game for the Vikings. I have something like caught in my throat, so I'm trying to like at the same time like handle two things. But the secondary for the Vikings is going to get tested in this game. I don't care what you think of Dak Prescott. Amari Cooper is a really good wide receiver. Michael Gallup is a good number two. Randall Cobb's a good number two. They have Jason Witten. And while Jason Witten is not going to beat us, you know, for a 50-yard touchdown, he will definitely beat us for 6 or 7 yards on, like, a quick play, on a slant. He's a veteran. He knows how to get himself open. He knows where to sit in zones. He knows football so well. He's back on the team. They also have Blake Jarwin, he's not like great, but he's a good enough tight end to be a really good number two tight end. So I think with this offensive line, I'm not expecting us to get much pressure on Dak Prescott. I'm not expecting us to be able to just completely, you know, be in the backfield so fast that, you know, he has to make a quick decision and he throws a pick. I think when they throw the ball, they are going to, you know, the secondary is going to have to play some really good coverage. Zimmer's going to need to be on his A game this week against this offense because, again, no matter what you think of Dak Prescott, they're going to run the ball. Like, that's just a news flash. They're going to run for, like, 100 yards on us. I'm not going to be surprised if that happens. The key is when they throw the ball, we need to minimize what they can do, make them one-dimensional, and go from there. So I'm really looking forward to the secondary in this game. A lot of people have been, you know, just throwing all the shade at the secondary and at Zimmer. So this would be a really good bounce-back game for them to be able to come in and hopefully just shut down the Dallas offense completely. But, Jack, what are a couple matchups that you're looking forward to in this game?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head right there. I think one, the biggest matchup that I'm kind of looking forward to, just judging kind of coming off of the Kansas City game, and the spotlight is on that cornerback room, and I think this is almost – it's going to be a game. I personally think, granted, it could be a little bit of bias in me, or it could be the deep hatred I have for the Dallas Cowboys, but I think this might be a get-right game for Mike Zimmer and his cornerbacks. I agree with you that Amari Cooper is something special. We've seen Randall Cobb numerous times with him being in the Packers over the last few years. I don't think Jason Witten still has a ton left in his tank. I do not like Jason Witten. I don't know if I've made that obvious on this show, but when you bring up Dallas, Dallas has kind of fallen down the charts, obviously, as a Vikings fan. Green Bay is number one on my hatred list, but the Saints and Philly have kind of jumped up in that spot. Before that, before 2009 we lost, and before a couple years ago when we lost to Philly, Dallas was right up there on that list, and Jason Witten was on that list when we beat them in the playoffs in 2009 to get to that Saints game. Jason Witten at a press conference where he was kind of just being a baby after he said that we ran up the score on him. And from that moment on, I was a sour middle schooler or early high schooler, whatever age I was. I was either eighth or ninth grade when that happened, but I was just a sour kid towards him. And I was like, you know what? Screw that guy. I just don't really, I'm glad he got out of the broadcast booth because I've never been a huge fan of him. We could probably now turn this podcast into the Jason Witten rant podcast, but I don't need to do that. But
yeah, you're bringing up a lot of hatred. Like I asked my dad a couple weeks ago, I was like, why do you hate the Cowboys so much? And then he brought up, he was like, oh, the push off, like on the Hail Mary. And I was like, oh yeah, completely forgot about that. And controversial opinion, maybe, I don't hate Dallas that much. I thought, I thought Jason Witten was terrible on Monday Night Football, and I hope he never does commentary again, but, like, he seems like a swell guy. Like, I don't really hate Dallas really that much at all. I don't think Zeke is that good, actually. I think he's all offensive line. I'm not a huge fan of Zeke, but I'm also not a huge fan of Ohio State, so I think that plays into that mode. But, yeah, check in next week for the Who Jack and Jeldon Hate podcast coming at you at, you know, 12 o'clock a.m. on a Thursday morning. But continue with your thought. But
and I mean, hate's a strong word. I just have a strong dislike for Dallas. It's kind of like my dislike for the New York Yankees, them being known as America's team. I think, I mean, they still use that slogan, but I don't think they should be granted that slogan anymore. I think the New England Patriots are by far America's team. Yep. They have six Super Bowls. However, this is the flaw in my logic. I like the Patriots, but I have a messed up mind. I think you should probably know that. I've been through 24 years of hell now as a Vikings fan. So
get it. Like, I hate the Saints. I hate Philadelphia. I'm trying to think if there's a team.
I don't even have like a reason.
I hate the Jets. A lot of Vikings fans don't like the Jets, but I despise the Jets, specifically Sam Darnold. Like the Jets, I guess, are my version of the Cowboys, like a team that I guess you really shouldn't, like, despise that much, but, like, just the mention of their name makes your blood boil.
Yeah, for sure. And just kind of getting back into what I should be talking about now. It's another game similar to what we said last week. They have a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the ball, even though Dak scares me a little bit more than Matt Moore. I don't think he's a very talented quarterback-wise, but he can move around quite a bit. And it always seems like quarterbacks that can move around, they always kill us. So you can get outside the pocket, and if you have your hands on him, you need to bring him down this week because he can move, like I said. And like we talked about last week, the corners, they're going to get beat here and there. Sorry, I have like a sniffle that I can't get away. But the corners, they can't stick on these guys forever. And if you have a chance to sack them, you just have to bring them down. Like you said, they are going to run the ball. I could very well see them going for 100 yards as well. But I don't think – I mean, the Vikings have been so good at not allowing big plays to running backs. And up until last year, they had that missed tackle, and it was a 91-yard play. So you can't have that happen. We're going to have to be fundamentally sound this week again and be a lot better tackling, frankly, than what we were last week. Can't have big plays like that. I keep flashing back, and I'm just – it's like a nightmare where I can just picture that play where Anthony Harris gets deked out of his shoes and dives at him. We just can't have that. You got to wrap up. It goes back to what you learn in Pee Wee football. You have to wrap up and – stick your head across their waist, and hopefully it all works out because it's a huge, huge game for the Vikings. I think this could make or break the season. I know it's hard to say that with With it only being the 10th game of the season, but I mean, there's after this game, there's only six more left, and it's going to look a hell of a lot better if we can get to 7-3 rather than 6-4.
Yeah, I think this game is it's super crucial. We're getting to that point of the season where it's like every game is very important, no matter who it's against. The Vikings control their own destiny at the moment. I mean, if we win out, I think we have a good shot of winning the division. I'm not exactly positive. I haven't went through the tiebreakers, but if we win the rest of our games, we would at least have at least the same record as Green Bay. Now, will we win out? I don't know. We have a lot of tough games. We have Dallas in Dallas. We have Seattle in Seattle. We still have to play Chicago and Green Bay and Detroit, all division opponents. All of those could end up being losses. So there's a lot of games on the schedule where I kind of just shrug and I say, I don't know what's going to happen in those games. But I know that the Vikings are capable of winning them. So, like I said, it's going to come down to, I think, how well the secondary can cover. And I would like to change. I think Zeke will get 100 total yards. I don't know if he's necessarily going to run for 100 on us. But I think that they'll get him involved in the pass game enough, you know, in screens and stuff like that, little swing passes. Well, he'll go for, like, you know, 60 or 70 rushing yards and, like, 20, 30, 40 receiving yards. But flipping over to the offensive side of the ball, Dallas also has a pretty good defense. They have two elite linebackers who Leighton Vander Esch is one of them, and I can't think of the other one's name. It's Jalen Smith, I think.
Yep, Jalen Smith. And not to mention, I mean, Sean Lee was very solid. I know he's kind of getting up there in age now, I believe, but he was a very solid presence for them over the last decade or so as well.
Yeah, so Sean Lee, at the least, is going to be able to provide just like veteran help to the other to the younger linebackers. But I mean, you look at Van Der Esch, you look at Jalen Smith, you look at the pass rush, DeMarcus Lawrence, you look at outside Byron Jones. It's just a team that has a lot of guys who, especially if Adam Thielen doesn't play, I think this could be a game where you see Byron Jones, the Cowboys are going to scheme Diggs out of it. They're going to make us beat them with Kyle Rudolph and make us beat them, one, specifically, make us beat them either throwing the ball to BC Johnson and Laquon Treadwell, or we're going to, like, have to run the ball with Dalvin Cook, which I think they're going to scheme Diggs and Cook out. So I think they really want to put this one on Cousins' shoulders and kind of make him make big plays to kind of no-name guys. And I don't love the matchup, if I'm being completely honest.
No, I don't either. I think this is a game where it'd be crucial to have Thielen back, and we both kind of said we don't think it's going to happen. I didn't watch the entire game. Granted, I should have, knowing we were going to get into this Wednesday with me, right? And I probably should have watched the Dallas-New York game. Was that on Sunday night or Monday night, whichever it was?
Yeah, it was Monday. I was playing Mario Party at my house. I didn't watch all of it either.
I mean, I watched the first half or so, and I mean, New York was right there with them for the majority of the game. I definitely think Dallas is a beatable team. They're 5-3 on the season. I know they started out 3-0, but they kind of had a cake schedule right off the bat, so I think they're definitely a beatable team. It's not easy going down to Jerry's World and playing that billion-dollar stadium or whatever it is. Outrageous. I was hoping to go to this game. I have some family down in Texas, but I'm not gonna do that anymore with the job transition and everything. But definitely a stadium I want to see, even though I just kind of bashed Dallas and everything that they stand for, but it's definitely a stadium. I would love to see every NFL stadium if that was possible, but not going to make it down there, unfortunately. But I definitely think they're a beatable team. I don't love our chances. I think there's a very good chance that we could come out on top, but it's not. I don't have a great feeling about this game. We both kind of thought we were going to beat the Chiefs with Matt Moore, and we were both wrong on that one. And I just have a gut feeling we're going to have a reality check come next week. But hopefully I'm wrong with that. I had another train of thought that I was going to go on to, but I honestly just lost it when I got sidetracked and said that. So I have no idea where I was going to go with that, but hopefully they can come out on top, because it's, like I said, it's a very crucial game. 7-3, and then you play Denver at home. Hopefully that should be, and I shouldn't say easy win, because no win is easy in the NFL, but get to 8-3 before the bye, I think we'll be sitting pretty fine.
Yeah, even so, I don't want to look too far ahead. We'll obviously look very far ahead during the bye week special, which I guess we should start hyping up. It's probably going to be a longer show. It'll go up a little later on Wednesday night than usual, but we might have a guest on. We don't really know yet. We haven't really talked about this. I guess we'll do this whenever we stop recording, but or we can text about it the next couple of days. But getting back on track and talking about Dallas, I think these teams are very similar in the Vikings and the Cowboys, and that frightens me. There's a lot of talk, even though it's not Halloween anymore. This feels like the Halloween game because a lot of matchups in this game scare me. Dallas's O line, I don't think is going to let our D line be a presence. I think our linebackers are going to have to make a lot of plays on Zeke. Our defensive backs are going to have to make a lot of tackles on Zeke. And Zeke is fast. I mean, he is a very fast guy, but he also has power. He can catch the ball. So I think we're going to try and limit what Zeke... I think we have the same game plan that they're going to have against us. Don't let Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott beat you. And make Dak throw the ball to Michael Gallup and Randall Cobb. And, you know, Jason Witten. And then on the opposite side of the ball, they're going to take Diggs and Cook away and make Cousins beat us with BC Johnson and Laquan Treadwell and Kyle Rudolph. So I'm not sure if I love our chances. Let's go ahead and do game balls. Who do I have this week?
You have defense this week. I kind of wanted to go on one more. Go ahead. What I was trying to say when I probably sound like a complete idiot the last time I talked because I think I had like three trains of thought, and they were all trying to come out of my mouth at once,
Jack,
and it just wasn't happening.
Like idiots.
However, this game, it's a lot different. I just kind of realized this, not just realized it, but Zimmer has a bad track record. There's a weird stat. I don't have it right in front of me, but outdoors, on the road, against teams with grass fields, his record is not very good. It's a weird stat, but we're going to be back inside. It's going to be on turf, so let's hope this weird stat that people have no time and come up with and figure out, hey, Zimmer sucks against road opponents with grass for their field. Let's hope getting back indoors on a turf field and similar to what we play on at home can help get the Vikings to a win on Sunday.
Hopefully. All right, so let's move into game balls. You know what, actually, let me just reiterate one more time. We are both idiots. But then let's move back. Actually, you know what? Before we do game balls, let's talk about ex Vikings. No, I'm just kidding. So game balls, you said I have defense this week.
You have defense. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought I had defense, but I wasn't positive and I couldn't get around to like re-listening to our show. So I didn't, whatever. Anyway. So on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with, Harrison Smith. I think we've picked him 1 week, maybe 2 weeks this year, but I think that with the secondary kind of being meh, I don't think Xavier Rhodes, I have to do that once a week, I don't think Xavier Rhodes is going to like be the guy that this defense is like, I don't think he's going to suddenly be great and hype up the rest of the defense, but I think Harrison Smith, you know, he's just a great leader of this team. I think he's going to be the guy who rallies the secondary to just do their jobs, be in good position. I'm not going to predict that he comes up with a turnover because this week I'm actually like 100% set in. I think Harrison Smith is going to rally this secondary, and we're going to see some big plays from him and the rest of the secondary. But I'm going to credit it to him. He's kind of like a silent leader of the team. He's kind of more do as I do. You know, I'm not going to say anything. Oh, lead by example. That's what I'm thinking of. So he's a lead by example type guy. But I think this week he's going to have this secondary really fired up for Zim and everybody. And I think that that's going to be a big factor in this game is the Vikings secondary. So who are you going to go with on offense, Jack?
Yeah, just kind of touch on what you said. I really agree with you. I think this is a week. If the Vikings come out on top, if they have the W in the win column, I think this is the game where we force Dak Prescott to make a couple bad mistakes and we turn over the ball. I mean, we've had some times in our past, granted it hasn't really been against Dallas, it's normally been against the Giants, but where we kind of made Eli Manning look bad. I'm not comparing them by any means, but against NFC East opponents where we got to just force these guys or force Dak to make make mistakes. And I think, like we just kind of said, this is going to be, like, or like I said earlier, this is going to be a turnaround game. I love your pick of Harrison Smith. I think it is a turnaround game for the secondary, and I would say over under, I think the Vikings are going to have two or more interceptions in this game. Switching over to my game ball pick of the week, we have just kind of talked about how we're going to need to utilize some other guys because they're going to game plan Diggs. If Diggs is open, though, Kirk, please throw it to him. I mean, he can do so much stuff. I almost just swore and I caught myself, but he can do so much stuff with the ball in his he can do so many good things with the ball in his hands. Whether that be on a just get the ball in his hands, he can make some moves after the catch as well. So he's very fun to watch, and he's so talented at getting off the line of scrimmage and making these cornerbacks just creating separation. So if he has a separation, this is another week. We kind of talked about it a couple weeks ago. If the window's there, just take your shot, Kirk. I don't care if you throw it so hard it goes right through his hands, but if the window's there, just try to force it to him because we're going to need him in this game. Having said that, my game ball of the week will not be going to Stephon Diggs. I am taking Irv Smith Jr. I think he's going to have to step up huge in this game. Like you said, with Thielen more than likely not going to be playing. I think B.C. Johnson is more than capable of stepping up, but I don't see a guy like Treadwell having another game with over 50 yards. So I think this is a game, we've said it on almost every show this year so far, that Irv Smith is so talented inside the 20s. Utilize that, and I think he finds the end zone for the first time this weekend.
I would love if Irv Smith found the end zone for the first time this season. I love watching the Vikings games. Like, every time B.C. Johnson catches the ball, I have coined the phrase, unleash the beast. Because, like, I don't want to say unleash the beast. I say, like, unleash the beast. It's just, like, my thing. Whenever Irv Smith catches the ball, I usually scream. There's a line from the movie Dodgeball where Patches O'Houlihan says, "Go, you crazy son of a..." fill in the blank. And I scream that every time he gets the ball because I don't know why. That's just, like, the quote. So I love when seeing, like, these young guys get involved in the offense. I love seeing Madison just run like a truck through a Toyota Prius. Like, it's just, there's so much young talent on this team that I think the Vikings could utilize in this game to beat Dallas. So let's go ahead. I think that's all besides score predictions. So I'm going to let you do your score prediction first, and then I'll go second this week.
You know what? I was driving home. I had about an hour commute. I was stuck in traffic for probably 20 minutes on my way home. Then I get home and I hop on the show. The whole ride home, I was convincing myself, saying, you know what, Jack, I know it's not easy for you to do this, but you have to pick Dallas in this game. And I've had such a bad day that I need to turn it around. I am taking the Vikings to win 24-20. I'm going against what I was telling myself in the car ride here. But I think just kind of going over this game a little bit more, I think the Vikings come out on top. I think we forced Dak to throw a couple turnovers. And I think Kirk Cousins proved some people wrong in this game and kind of gets back on track. We get to 7-3. Then we go to next week. We get back at home against a bad Denver team without their starting quarterback. I like our chances going into the bye week. So I think this is a must-win game for the Vikings. I think they come out on top.
All right. So I totally told you to go first because I thought you were picking us to lose. But that's okay because you said what was your final score prediction?
24-20.
Okay, 24-20. Well, shove that where the sun don't shine. The Vikings are winning this game 27-10. I've been negative. We've both been negative. I don't love the matchup, but this just feels like the game. And if I'm wrong on this game, I don't even want us to make the playoffs. I want us to tank for Tua. Like, just finish the season. But this game, I think we're going to come out. We're going to smack Dallas in the mouth. Stefanski is going to have something up his sleeve to find Diggs the ball. Hopefully Thielen can play. Even without Thielen, I think this is a B.C. Johnson absolute monster game for him. I don't think Dallas sees it coming. And I think B.C. Johnson ends up going for, like, over $120. I just really like our chances to win this game big. I'm not going to discredit anything I just said. Dallas still scares me offensively, but I think our D-line and our linebackers can stop Zeke Elliott enough to make Dak throw the ball. And I think Zimmer is going to take notice of what other teams have done against Dallas, which is do not let Dak throw the ball to Amari Cooper. So I'm going with a blowout. I'm going by like a three-possession win. I'm saying 27-10. It could end up being like 27-17, but I think we're going to win this game by two or three possessions. And if we don't, then I will come on the show next week, dead serious, and I will just, like, I'm calling it, we're not making the playoffs. I legit think that's how important this game is, because we have a lot of tough games ahead, and I think this Dallas game is kind of the, this is the game where we decide which direction we're headed. So, give me the Vikings 27-10 officially.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like I said, I think this is a game where we need to come out on top. It's a huge stepping stone in our schedule. It gets harder from here with us having to play in Seattle. It's a lot harder to play in Seattle than it is in Dallas. One more point I want to make. If we're going to win this game, Zimmer's going to have to do some defensive wizardry like he's done in years past. We haven't seen it as much this year. I want to coin the slogan because it is election season. There's some smaller voting going on around the country right now, or at least in Minnesota. I want to bring back aggressive Mike Zimmer 2020. Start throwing some blitzes. I know we did a little bit in Kansas City. I think Harrison Smith had a sack. Bring that back. Force Dak to feel uncomfortable and make him turn the ball over. I think that's how we win this game. Zimmer's really going to get after Dak. He's getting in that like veteran phase of his career now, but I still just don't see him as a very... God, this thing in my nose, I don't know what's going on. But I just don't see Dak as a quarterback that's going to absolutely shred a Mike Zimmer defense. And like you said, if I'm wrong, which I hope to God I'm not, I will, too, come on the show next week. I probably won't be as down as you because I've been kind of Mr. Positive, even though today I was not positive. I was negative my whole way home. But you know what? Screw it. This is a huge game. Vikings need to win. And like I said, they come out on top 24-20 because Mike Zimmer is aggressive again, and Kirk Cousins is going to be going back to you like that, Kirk Cousins, and they combine forces. I don't think I would ever say that again, that Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins are going to combine forces, but they are going to come out on top in this one, I think, 24-20.
Yeah, I just think that this game, like, the defense kind of got embarrassed, even though, you know, it was a close game. The defense, I don't think anyone would say, had a good game last week. I think Zimmer's going to have them pissed off. And to be quite frank with you, Jack, I just think this is a game where the Vikings are going to be very, like, we are aware that it's almost going to be like our snapping point. It's going to be like, we are aware that everyone in the media is taking a dump on the Vikings. And everyone in the media is saying that the Vikings suck now because we lost a close game to maybe the second best team in the NFL, even though they had the backup quarterback. But still, like, I don't know. I have a really good feeling about this Dallas game. We'll see what happens. But we're over an hour at this point, so... I think what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about Twitter handles and then we're going to, you know, say skull and go home. So
one last thing before you do that. Another reason why I think the Vikings come out on top, this game, it means more to the Vikings than it does to Dallas. I mean, every week matters in the NFL. The NFC East is not a good division. They have Philly in their division, really the only other contenders, and we've seen that Philly can be exposed. The Vikings exposed them. I don't think they're very good. They have a lot of talent, but I don't think I see Philly making the playoffs this year. The Vikings, on the other hand, have Green Bay that are right in front of them. We should be tied. Granted, they would have tiebreaker right now, but it's got to be in the back of their minds that if we would have finished that game in Kansas City, we'd be right up in there. We would have complete control of our own destiny now. But now this game, it turns the table to this game, and it's a lot more important. And I think you got to play kind of pissed off, like you said. They got to come out and play pissed off because this game, frankly, it means more to the Vikings.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game. It's going to be in prime time. But you know what, Jack? I'm sure at some point one of us will text the other one and just – there will be like 7 cuss words in the text and it won't be pleasurable. And we'll probably, in all honesty, it'll probably be you texting me something. And then I'll just respond because I'm also pissed off. And I'll be like, yup. Like just very show and angry.
It's worse that it's Sunday night too, because I was so pissed on Sunday, but least I got to come home. I left my dad's, came home, just went to bed early and kind of slept it off. But it's a lot harder on a Sunday night game where I know I have to wake up early the next morning. I'm going to have to go into work. And the feelings aren't going to be gone when I wake up, and I'm still going to be white-knuckling on my way to work with my hands grabbed around the steering wheel super hard, listening to K-Fan up here in Minnesota and just getting extremely pissed off hearing what went wrong in the on the night before. But yeah, like you said, it is...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was just going to wrap it up.
Oh, I was literally just going to say, another reason that I think the Vikings will win this game is because they know that Monday is my birthday, so they will be playing extra hard just for me. So, for me to turn 22 years old. But I think I'm good. I think I'm done talking about this Dallas game. Good feelings about it, even though I think it's going to be tough. Are you good? Should I plug the Twitter handles?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. All right, well, so follow me on Twitter at jhawthorne16. That is 1-6, jhawthorne16. Follow Jack on Twitter at jack_h_day. One more time, that is jack_h, as in helicopter. His middle name is helicopter. jack_h_day. And then follow the show on Twitter at LTBVikings. That is one more time, at LTB load the box, at LTB Vikings. At load the box was already taken by probably a much more professional show. Let's see. I think that's all the Twitter stuff. Check out Jack on the Vikings Wire. He posts amazing stuff on there. It is awesome. Check out Vikings Territory and purpleptsd.com. I don't post on there like writing as much as I probably should, but there's a lot of great content being pumped out week after week, day after day there as well. So just check out, you know, all those websites. And then most importantly, you know, say skull and end your show. So Jack, do me the honors, please.
Skull as always. Let's go get a win in Dallas.
Let's go.
Talk smack after making one play. But...